ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स 16 एंड 17 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। Verse 17. Sanat Kumaro Vatukama Devad. Dhaya Shishamam Pati Deva He Lanad. Devar Shivarya Purusharchanar Antarat. Kurmo harir mam nirayad sheshat. Sanat kumaro vatu kama devad. Dhayar shirsha mam pati deva helanat. Devar Shivarya Purusharchanantarat. Kurmo Harir Mam Nirayad Asheshat. First, I'll read the translation of the previous verse. May Lord Narayana protect me from unnecessarily following false religious systems and falling from my duties due to madness. May the Lord, in his appearance as Nara, protect me from unnecessary pride. May Lord Dattatreya, the master of all mystic power, protect me from falling while performing bhakti yoga. And may Lord Kapila, the master of all good qualities, protect me from the material bondage of fruitive activities. In translation of the verse that we just chanted, may Sanat Kumara protect me from lusty desires. As I begin some auspicious activity, may Lord Hayagriva protect me from being an offender by neglecting to offer respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord. May Devarshi Narada protect me from committing offenses in worshipping the deity. And may Lord Kurama, the tortoise, protect me from falling to the unlimited hellish planets. Purport. Lusty desires are very strong in everyone, and they are the greatest impediment to the discharge of devotional service. Therefore, those who are very much influenced by lusty desires are advised to take shelter of Sanat Kumara, the great brahmachari devotee. Narada Muni, who is the guide for Archana, is the author of the Narada Pancharatra, which prescribes the regulative principles for worshipping the deity. Everyone engaged in deity worship, whether at home or in the temple, should always seek the mercy of Devarshi Narada in order to avoid the 32 offenses while worshipping the deity. These offenses in deity worship are mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. Persons on the path of devotional service. And any serious practitioner of spiritual life, whether directly in devotional service to Krishna or otherwise, must be cognizant of the fact that The reason that we need to follow a spiritual process is because, as Srila Prabhupada states here, lusty desires are very strong in everyone. It's quite common in my life that devotees come to me, male devotees, stating that they are much troubled by lusty desires, which they know is a great obstacle in spiritual advancement. They feel troubled by that. But we may all take some solace in the fact that we're not alone. Everyone in this world is troubled by lusty desires. Those who are on the spiritual path, they understand that this is troublesome. Materialists, those who are highly materialistic, gross sense enjoyers, they may think that if their lusty desires are not as strong as they would want them to be, they consider that to be a problem. And therefore, there are aphrodisiacs, various kinds of herbal and other concoctions by which lusty desires may be increased, which is, incidentally, one reason why the rhinoceros is going extinct, because an extract from the horn of the rhinoceros is said, especially in Chinese medicine, to be a powerful aphrodisiac. And so rhinoceri get killed in Assam, and the horns are taken out and sent to China, and it's a good business because certain people are willing to spend large amounts of money to get back their libido. They may think, what's the use of having so much money if I can't enjoy myself properly? Srila Prabhupada, in one of his conversations, commented that certain people in Europe, older men, they have some operation done in which the genital of a monkey is transplanted onto their body, because they have the idea that they would like to be as sexually active and proficient as a monkey. We can advise such people that they just be a little bit patient, and very soon they'll get the body of a monkey, and they won't have to go through some risky and not very sure operation. Lusty desires are very strong in everyone. That's the very nature of material existence. Material existence means lusty desire. Krishna bahimukh hoya bhogavanchakar. Material existence means being inimical to Krishna. And being inimical to Krishna means that the natural propensity to love Krishna becomes perverted into the unnatural desire to enjoy one's own senses. Atendriya priti vancha tare bole kam. The desire to satisfy one's own senses is called karma, material desire. And real love is Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premana. Love of Krishna, which is real love, that means the desire to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses. So this word kama, it means desire in general, particularly material desire. And in particular, it means sexual desire. And Kama Deva, who is referred to here, that is translated as Cupid in English, taken from the, is that the Roman god, the Greek god of, I believe, is called Eros. Therefore, we have words like erotic in English. In the heart of London, the great city from which people go all over the world, in the very heart, the part of London where you'll find almost all the year round, mostly tourists from all different parts of the world, Piccadilly Circus, there is a statue of Eros, the god Kamadev, the god of love, shooting with his bow. So that's the one god who is, there's a word for it in English, Cupid. It's come down through millennia. It's a well-known word. Cupid means particularly, he's Kamadev, the Sanskrit word given here in this verse is Kamadev, means that he incites material desire and especially sexual desire. That is the binding force within this material world. All material desires are binding, but the center is sexual desire. Pungsastriya mithuni bhavametam tayoraho hridaya grantimahu. Ato griha kshetra sutapti vitayar janasya moho yamahamnameti. In this material world, one is illusioned by thinking in terms of I, me, and mine. I have got this house. This is my house. This is my country. These are my children, my relatives, my caste, my money. This all develops, all this thought of I, me, and mine develops from the very strong attachment within the heart that is developed from the attachment between man and woman. Specifically, when one man becomes attached to one woman, then the attachment becomes very strong. And that binds us in this material world. And we should, those who are on the path of spiritual life, they understand that to get free from this desire is not easy. If we're actually serious about spiritual life, then we have to be cognizant of the dirty things in the heart. We have heard the term pure devotee. A pure devotee means one whose heart is filled with love of Krishna, and pure means there's no dirt in the heart. Dirt in the heart means material desire. Among all the many types of material desire, this lusty desires for sexual enjoyment and everything else that goes with it. That means Hiranyakashipu, money, opulent bedding, opulent furniture. This is Hiranya, means gold or money. And Kashipu means a nice soft bed. So sadhus generally, they don't sleep on beds. They lead a very simple life to try to get free from sensual desires. Of course, it's not so easy to get free from sensual desires. It's not simply by sleeping on the floor that one becomes free from sensual desires. Many sadhus, they undergo severe austerities. Even now, there are many sadhus who perform severe austerities. They may keep their hand in the air for 12 years, after which you can't bring it down anyway. It's stuck. Or they may just stand up. They make a vow never to sit down. Severe austerities. But even that is insufficient to remove lusty desires. But still, one has to try. One has to try the positive process to get free from lusty desires is the whole process of Krishna consciousness. Often devotees ask me questions like, how can I? And then after that there'll be so many, how can I get free from material desires? How can I be more sincere? How can I be determined? The how to question. The generic answer to all of them is to undergo the process of devotional service. Bhakti sadhana. The process is given by the Supreme Lord Himself so that we can become purified. So how can we become free from material desires? We follow the process of devotional service. That will purify. Then you may think, well, I've been following already for so many years and I still have material desires. Okay, go on following. Keep on following. There's no better way. You may think, well, my progress is very slow. Nevertheless, you keep on going. You see if there's any particular fault that one is committing some fault, not following the process properly. This sadhana, the process of sadhana, is described in the Nectar of Devotion. Srila Prabhupada refers to that in the purport here. Srila Prabhupada subtitled the Nectar of Devotion as the complete science of Bhakti Yoga. Science means if we follow, we should get the results. Of course, it's not completely guaranteed. Everything depends on Krishna's mercy. But Krishna has given His mercy in the form of the rules and regulations by which we may advance in devotional service. And if we follow them, then Krishna will be pleased. We can't force Krishna to be pleased. But He has given us this process and He's let it be known that He is pleased by this following. There are many. Srila Rupa Goswami, he offers many examples from Shastra of how Krishna is pleased by persons who follow this process. For instance, dancing in front of the deity. The example is given of one girl, Chandra something, I can't remember the name, who danced in front of the deity, and Krishna was very pleased. So Krishna is pleased by this. Incidentally, herein is also mentioned that one should pray to Narada Muni to be free from the offenses in deity worship. One of them, as mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, is to not... One of the things to do is to dance in front of the deity. One of the things not to do is to turn one's back to the deity. And this was a point which Srila Prabhupada, he particularly emphasized. And we see many people, even today, of course, gradually with the progression of Kali Yuga, even in India, which is meant for spiritual advancement, people are forgetting all these things, but we still see many people who, after visiting a temple, they exit by walking backwards so they don't show their back to the deity. Unfortunately, somehow or other, it's become a custom recently within some temples of ISKCON that devotees dance in front of the deity with their back to the deity. For instance, by going round and round in a circle. So when you go in a circle, then your back goes to the deity. So here we are warned to avoid the offenses. There are rules and regulations. By following these rules and regulations, we please Krishna, and that helps us to become purified. The rules and regulations, they act positively to develop our love for Krishna, and they act in a manner to help us overcome these lower desires. So we should discuss these points. It's necessary to discuss these points. Otherwise, we can go on doing bhakti but not actually advance. It is possible to hear and chant about Krishna and not properly advance. One may be in the morning program every morning and not advance. Of course, if one's actually present, then we should hear, as in classes like this, what to do, what not to do, and become advanced. But in this way, but the warning is there. Bahu janma kare jodi shravan kirtan tabuta na pai Krishna pade premadham. It's possible to perform devotional service for many lives and not come to the actual point, which is pure love of Krishna, if there are offenses. So offenses means that the lusty desires, which are very strong in everyone, we succumb to the lusty desires, and therefore we perform activities which are detrimental to our advancement. And by performing activities that are detrimental to our advancement, the lusty desires also increase. So it's a very dangerous situation. Therefore we should discuss these points. It's necessary to discuss these points. We can talk about love and compassion and peace and forgiveness, and we should discuss, these are important to discuss. But we should discuss them on the very solid background of understanding what is our existential position. Why are we in this material world? We are in this material world because we have rejected Krishna. We're in this material world because we are cultivating material desires that force us to take birth after birth after birth. So to discuss love and peace and compassion and forgiveness and kindness and so many qualities without presenting the background of our existential position as pure, we are meant to be pure servants of Krishna. Why do we not have these qualities? Or why should we want to develop such qualities? We lack these qualities because we have cut ourselves off from Krishna, who is the reservoir of all good qualities. When we cut ourselves off from Krishna, then we desire Krishna bhuli sejivan, Krishna bahimukhaya bhogavanchaka. Then we desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. And we may desire love, peace and so on, but separately from Krishna, which is not possible. We can have some false or some semblance of love and peace and kindness and compassion and goodwill to all men, but it has no reality without understanding that we are meant to serve Krishna. So to speak of love and peace and kindness and compassion and all these things without recognizing that we are meant for surrendering to Krishna, this won't help us at all. All this so-called love and peace will simply nurture the dirty desires in our heart. I was just speaking with Bhima Prabhu. He was discussing about this very common phenomenon in the Western world, especially in America, of people declaring that I am spiritual, but I am not religious. They have the feeling that, well, yes, I like to be spiritual, but not religious. Means that they like to feel that we have love and compassion and kindness and all these things. But no, religion means you have to follow what someone says. There are rules and regulations. There's some belief system, but they have the idea that spirituality means something very, some vague good feelings. And some feeling that I'm very spiritual. And rules and regulations, that's for people on a lower level. So this keeping everything very vague, talking about love and peace, but without stating, without establishing the clear understanding that we are all part and parcel of Krishna, we're meant to serve Krishna, we are not meant to enjoy this material world, we cannot enjoy this material world, either by gross sense gratification or even the subtle sense gratification of, for instance, enjoying the natural beauty of this world, enjoying the seeing the children playing. These are all dirty things on the heart, if not understood in relationship with Krishna. It all serves to bind us more in this material world. So it is necessary to discuss these things. There are many people who like to hear about love and peace and compassion and forgiveness and kindness and mercy, but they're not very much interested to hear about the reality that this material world is a place of suffering. That this material world, we are stuck in this material world because of our lusty desires to enjoy it, because of our rebelliousness toward Krishna. So even to talk about Krishna as being beautiful, sweet, kind, loving, we should certainly discuss these qualities of Krishna, but to discuss all these points among less than fully perfect devotees or among the general public without establishing that we are meant to surrender to Krishna and to overcome all lusty desires which spring from our deliberate forgetfulness of Krishna, to simply discuss about how sweet and kind and loving and beautiful is Krishna, without establishing that we are in a diseased condition, that we have dirty desires in our hearts which need to be cleansed, without recognizing that, we'll never make proper advancement. That's not full and proper glorification of Krishna. To neglect that we have dirty things in our heart, to just presume that we just love Krishna without following Krishna's direction as given in Shastra to become purified from these dirty things, without accepting the rules and regulations of devotional service. Such bhakti will simply be so-called bhakti, that will be another form of cheating. So even to glorify Krishna without bringing Krishna's teachings in Bhagavad Gita, without discussing the necessity of advancing in Krishna consciousness by both the positive and the negative processes, by without recognizing our conditioning, we cannot be free from the disease. Just like if someone has a physical disease, first of all, unless we recognize that, we cannot get cured from the disease. The first thing the doctor must do is to diagnose what is the disease and then give the proper treatment, and the patient has to cooperate and follow the doctor's direction. Then he may be cured. But if we think, well, I don't have any disease, then we simply by pretending that we don't have any disease, that won't make the disease go away. We have to take the proper treatment. So this is very important to discuss this, that lusty desires are very strong in everyone. We're herein enjoined to pray to Sanat Kumar to protect us from lusty desires. Of course, it's not enough simply to pray to Sanat Kumar to protect us. There's a whole regime to follow. And we may have to follow it throughout life and maybe through many lives, because lusty desires are so strong. But we can take help from Sanat Kumar. We can take help from the current representatives of Sanat Kumar in this world, the Vaishnavas, the pure devotees. We're taking help from Sanat Kumar via Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to recognize this. Bhakti, if properly performed, is not light. Bhakti is joyful, but it's not light. It is very grave. We have to approach the guru. Guru means heavy, not light. We see many gurus who they seem to think that the main thing about a guru is that he smiles and laughs. Ha! So a guru may smile and laugh, but he's not laghu, not light. It's very serious business. We all have a very serious task. In the news we see so many serious subjects are discussed, and often frivolous also, but the main news is just like there was the election recently in India, serious matter. Now the main news is the in Iraq, there's serious fighting going on. It's serious news which will seriously affect the immediate and medium-term future of the world. Not that Iraq's such an important country, but it's become important because of oil. So these are serious subjects, but we all have much more serious things to consider. More important than Indian governmental affairs, more important than Iraqi military affairs, is our own individual task of becoming free from material desires. very grave task. Now we may say, well, no, Indian governmental affairs are more important. They affect more people. Well, in one sense that's true, but whatever effect is there, whether India prospers or fails to prosper or whatever, whether the government operates effectively or not, still, janma mrityu, jara vyadhi, birth, death, old age and disease will go on. So the most important business is to get free from birth, death, old age and disease and go to Krishna. That's why sadhus traditionally, they cut themselves off from the world. Nowadays, if we go, we'll find in many ashrams, the first thing, sadhus, they get up, in the winter, they'll sit in the sun with tea, or if they're in South India, with coffee, and read the newspaper. That's their morning sadhana. But real sadhus, they'll cut themselves off from the world. No, they don't discuss who's prime minister, any such thing. Cut themselves out, because they have serious business to do. So our position as followers of Srila Prabhupada is somewhat in between. Our real business is to cultivate Krishna consciousness. But as we are to preach Krishna consciousness also, we also have some connection with this world. So we have to be aware of what's going on in it. But at the same time, we have to understand that the really important business is not how big we become in the eyes of foolish people, or even how big we become in the eyes of learned people or enlightened people. That is not our aim. Our aim is to, as Srila Prabhupada said, become mad after Krishna. But if we're mad after sense gratification, everyone in this world is mad after sense gratification, then there's no question of developing love for Krishna. This important point should be discussed regularly. Srila Prabhupada once very graphically stated that the whole world is going on after this vagina licking business, referring to the dogs. The dog will find a bitch and lick the genital of the bitch. So Srila Prabhupada said, the humans, that it's basically the same thing going on. The whole world is going on like this. Srila Prabhupada said, these things should be discussed regularly. This is kirtan. Kirtan means to glorify Krishna. To discuss the gross propensities of conditioned souls, how can that be kirtan? Well, that's also kirtan if it's done in the manner of saintly persons. Saintly persons also discuss about sexual affairs, but in a manner that they may become detached from them, not become attached to them. In a manner of understanding that this is binding us in this material world. And this is kirtan, because this is also the subject of Bhagavatam. That verse I just recited, the Pungsastriya Mittani Bhavametam. The attraction between male and female is the binding force in material life. And as a result of that, nunam pramatah kurute vikarma yadindriya pritiya aprinoti nasadhumanya yata atmano yam asannapi kleshada asadeha. In the same section of Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishabdev, states that people are definitely insane because they perform sinful activities simply for the sake of indulging their senses, as a result of which They get born again and again to suffer again and again. So this is insanity. But we take it to be normal, because in the madhouse, to be mad is normal. So we're all in the madhouse of this material world, which we're forgetting Krishna, and are attracted to that which we should not find attractive. So kirtan, one feature of kirtan is to understand all these points through the teachings of Bhagavatam. And that is very helpful in overcoming these lower desires, so that we may properly, unrestrictedly develop the higher, the pure desire of love of Krishna. Is there any question about this, please? Let me try and rephrase that. You said in the Bhagavatam, and in many parts of Shastra, we find there is the struggle or the ongoing fight between the devas, the godly, and the asuras. And then you said that we are supposed to be becoming harmonious. Blissful, harmonious, don't fight. Where did you get that from, the point about not fighting? Was it from Bhagavad Gita by any chance? Arjuna, as you may recall, Arjuna, we find in chapter 1 of Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna's proposal was not to fight. He was being very good. I spoke about this last night. Arjuna was being very good and very pious and very open-minded and nice. And Krishna responded to him. What did he say? Kutas tvam kashmalamidam vishame samupastita anarya jushtam asvargam akirti karam Arjuna. Krishna told Arjuna that all your ideas of being nice and harmonious and not fighting and empathetic with others, Krishna said to Arjuna, where did all these impurities, from where have they come? Here, in this place where clear-headed thinking is needed most of all, now you're talking all this nonsense, which is not befitting you. You are an Arya. You're supposed to understand the higher values of life. Actually, for the answer to this question, you kindly, if there's a, you can, I spoke about it last night for almost 1 hour. Practically, it's a reply to this question about how Arjuna wanted to be good and nice, and Krishna told him, that's all nonsense. There's more to being, to be good and nice in this material world is an impurity. So, I discussed that in some detail last night. There should be a recording of it on the internet soon. Maybe it's already there? No, not yet. The idea of being harmonious in this material world is a great disaster. Because if we want to harmonize with this material world, it means we have to remain in this material world. If we want to be harmonious with this material world, it means we have to remain within it. That's why the sadhus, they cut out, they become disharmonious. And everyone blames them. You're leaving your family, your children. So they become disharmonious so that they can become harmonious with Krishna. I have a habit, it's not considered very harmonious. It may be considered maybe even insulting. But anyway, I'll do it. When I see, as I often do, persons like yourself who are older in years and who appear to have considerably less time in their present body than they've already spent. In other words, you're going to die fairly soon, probably. I usually advise them, don't stay here. Go to Mayapur or Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna. That goes for retired lawyers also. Unless you have some pressing service for Krishna, don't stay. Go to Vrindavan, go to Puri, go to Mayapur, chant Hare Krishna. Go back to Godhead.
Can I ask one more question?
The train timetable, you can look on the internet. That's the only question you should ask. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah. For whom does the bell, what is that? There's a novel called For Whom Does the Bell Toll?
Krishna is all powerful, all merciful, loving his children. And to make us happy, what he has to do is just to reduce the volume of the lust or lusty desires. So if we suppose only Vaishnava can attain Krishna, what about the others who are not able to tune with Krishna? They will be continuously suffering. But if Krishna can reduce the volume of the lusty desires of every person, every mankind, then things will be very easy. And what he has to take is only one thing, the lusty desires of mankind. Why
doesn't Krishna take away our lusty desires?
He will reduce them.
Or reduce them. Well, that's the same thing. Take them away or reduce them. Take away means... Reduce means to take away to some extent. Why doesn't Krishna do it? Well, Krishna wants us to love Him. Love Him means we have to choose to love Him. That means we have to choose to love Him or not to love Him. And if we don't love Krishna, we'll transfer our loving propensity to this material world that is called lust. So we have to choose. Do we want Krishna or do we want to be in this material world? Krishna helps us. He speaks Bhagavad Gita. He comes as Ras Bihari. He sends Srila Prabhupada. He gives us Srimad Bhagavatam. But we have to choose. It's up to us. We have to do our work also. But Krishna helps us in this one way. So very nice way, that even if we have so many material desires, if we simply, especially at the end of life, if we go to Mayapur, Vrindavan, Puri, and we leave the world in that place, then we'll go to Krishna. So that's the easy way. But we also have to choose to go there. If we have so many material desires, we may resist that also. Well, if you want to ask, you please ask, as the mic is with you.
And meditation very nicely explained. And the last word we have answered that we must somehow have come to the stage where, by which we can follow the teaching of teaching Sahagara. Now, last 25 years or 26 years, I've been listening to Bhagavad Gita. And then I appreciate so wonderfully what wonderful you have so said, prayer every day is happening. Now, what is actually happening that we are not taking anything into consideration that there is an important point and we should apply in our life. And just like conquering the world, leaving everything like behind, not working on it. So why we should not find out a way that these are the some very, very fundamental things before we proceed further. Just like what principles that you father given to you, all right, that's wonderful we are doing. But certain things of Bhagavatam, which are very, if we want to make progress in spiritual life, this should be done regularly before we want to be another class one. Is there any solid point?
Could you give an example of the things that we should do before we hear class tomorrow? Could you give some example of the kind of things that you're thinking about that we should do before we hear class tomorrow? Yes, certainly. Well, that's a very good. That's good. Not applying what we hear. Well, for that, we have to associate with devotees and be engaged in devotional service. That all falls within the process of bhajana kriya. In the stages of advancement, there's ādo, śraddha, tata, sadhu, saṅgha, atha, bhajana kriya. So bhajana kriya means the process of devotional service. And again, we come to the 64 points given by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So there, within that, there are some activities which we may call passive, such as hearing the Bhagavatam. But there's also active ones. Vishrambhena Guru Seva. We should affectionately serve the Guru. So we're given activities to perform. That's the application. So this process of sadhana, we should assiduously follow it. And gradually there will be cleansing of the heart. 35 years we've been practicing. Very nice.
I think we need to reserve tickets for Vrindavan for many people.
Yeah. Those who are older and not engaged in some vital activity in service, better go to Vrindavan and practice this serious bhajan, chanting, hearing. At the end of life, that should be done. Srila Prabhupada himself set the example. He was traveling all over the world, and at the end, he was in Rishikesh, and then he said, okay, now I'm going to Vrindavan, and I'll prepare to leave this world, which he did. Well, that's also there. The temple is as good as Vrindavan. That's also there. But at the same time, Vrindavan has its own speciality. And particularly if one is living in Bombay, when one's not in the temple, then it is likely that one will get sucked into various social and domestic matters. The whole atmosphere in Vrindavan is focused on Krishna, not in Bombay. So the temple is in Bombay, it's Vaikuntha, but the general atmosphere is not like that of Vrindavan. So that's the general recommendation. In Vrindavan there's a lot of politics also, yeah, that's also there. Nevertheless, the recommendation of Shastra is that one should go to Vrindavan. I'm sure at the time when Rupa Goswami wrote Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there must have been lots of politics even at that time. Even at that time they had legal documents. You know that? There were legal documents were made for Radha Kund in the name of Raghunath Das Goswami, and they're still fighting over that, using those original documents going back 500 years. So politics is there, but we have to tune in to the real thing. Do I have permission to take another question or not? Okay. If you sit around a little bit, then you won't have your back to Krishna. Why should we discuss about material desires when nashta prayeshva bhadreshu? That by hearing Bhagavatam, these material desires are diminished. Well, how do they diminish? One way is that they're discussed right here in Bhagavatam. That's also part of Bhagavatam. Okay, Hare Krishna, we'll finish there. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Gauranga Thai ki jai, Shri Radha Raspihari Lalita Vishakha ki jai, Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Hare Krishna.